He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut.
Well, look at Connecticut being one of 10 states in the country, first, I should say, to contribute health information to the new U.S. Disease Tracker. The online tool gives the public a snapshot of disease trends, vaccination rates, and other public health data across the country. Did you see this, Dr. Brown, and how do you feel?
It's great. It's fantastic.
I think this.
It's an important thing. It is. It's great. And I could tell you that, I mean, I will tell you that, so obviously our hospital, Griffin Hospital, and you know, all the other hospitals are part of the Connecticut Hospital Association. And I mean, I think there's a concerted effort for not only to do things like this, to you know, make sure that we're reporting, but also to make sure that all of us are together in making sure that our hospitals are safe. Our safety scores are really good for the country.
I was wondering.
I think it's really important to know that. We've been doing a really great job.
Okay. So you kind of answered my question, which was I know only 10 states were selected. And when I was reading this, so I don't know if this was voluntary. Like, did Connecticut say, hey, pick me. I want to be somebody that gets involved with this. Or was this more of a, we're going to pick 10 states? Like, do you have insight into that? Because I have a question about it.
So the answer is I'm not 100% sure, but I will tell you, given sort of my experience and being part of sort of the state and being part of, again, I think the Connecticut Hospital Association, this would sound like something that we would volunteer to do.
Okay.
We're always on that list to try to, you know, again, it's very interesting. I think it's interesting for the listeners to know we are always working to improve, again, safety, reporting. It's really great in that aspect in the state.
I was asking because when I was looking at the list of states, it kind of fascinated me. So, and we'll talk about what this tool is, but I was surprised that New York wasn't on there. And here's why I say that, because when I was reading through, first of all, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Brown, but it's only right now. And they said they could certainly add more when it needs to be in the future. But measles, pertussis, so whooping cough. There's mm-hmm. another one on there. What was it? Is it mena? I always say it wrong. Meningococcal. What
meningococcal.
There you go. Yes.
Meningitis.
Meningitis. So the three of the, I had to think about it. I don't have it in front of me, of course. Wow, I'm prepared. So there were only three on there, but the one that stood out to me was measles, because obviously we've had, you know, outbreaks and we're seeing, you know, record levels of it. But correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Brown, wasn't one of the hot spots when we first saw these outbreaks in Westchester County?
It was absolutely
right?
Was and it's actually interesting. So just I mean there is so I know this is sort of a little bit more public reporting, but again we do I mean there it is still monitored by the federal government. So there is an immunization information system and a state vaccine registry that is still there. I think this is more along the lines of just publicly reporting. These are what we're going to say we're doing and because this is the right thing to do.
Totally.
But yeah, I think. Part of the problem is, and again, I'm gonna defend our state across the border there. Sometimes it's really hard to report these or to put them together. So sometimes it may not necessarily be that they don't want to. It's just a large state. There's a lot of complexity associated
Fair.
With it, and it may just be a delay.
Okay.
So we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, they should be reporting.
Right? That's what I mean, and again, I'm not trying to be critical. Like, I was really excited to see right next door to us was Massachusetts. I thought, right. All right, guys, I love that. You know, love to see that. But yeah, I was fascinated when I saw the list of states. But nevertheless, I do love the fact that Connecticut is one of 10 that has decided to get on board with this. Now, this is not as simple as just saying, yup, we're in line with you guys. I mean, it takes a lot of work, it sounds like. It says that the state public health department says it's going to obviously provide Connecticut residents with more complete and accurate information. But in order to do that, the U.S. data tracker has to use standardized, validated data that's submitted directly by health departments. So you are requiring
Correct.
A little bit of legwork.
Right. And that's exactly right. And there's a lot of things along those lines. But yes, it's and I think that's important because that standard becomes, you know, that term standard becomes a really important aspect of it. So if everybody starts submitting their data, but they're not giving it in a standard format, it's a big mess. Mm. Just again, from my experience doing hospital epidemiology, it's one of those things that you really need to be careful that you're getting like standard data. And it's important because, you know what, we've talked about this so many times that if there isn't sort of a standard approach or a global or a better understanding of sort of everything that's being put into a number or a fact, it can be skewed, right?
Yeah, no
so
question.
We can make things sound like they're, you know, a worldwide issue, and it's, you know, localized to one small area in the world.
Obviously, the hantavirus, yeah, good call back there. Dr. Brown, I thought it was interesting that they're only monitoring three. Now, I know that they're vaccine-preventable diseases, but why just those three? Is it just because of what we've seen in recent years?
I think in my standpoint, those are really the ones that we want to start. They're easier to get sort of out there. They've been around for a long period of time. They're probably more of just the pilot ones.
Okay. I guess
that it will expand. And we've seen this through the CDC. I mean, the hospitals report quite a bit of data to CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Mm. We send a lot through there, and again, it takes time. They've been doing this for 20 years, this, you know, reporting and different reportables, and it takes a long time to sort of get everything situated, get the systems to put it together, and then get that data to them, and then they have to process that data. So it takes a lot of effort to try to get everything situated, but this is this is a really good thing. It's an important thing. It's important for us to know, and it's more information, real information for people to know about.
Well, and it seems like really the end goal here is that this is something that can be prevented. So I would think
Correct.
Leads to vaccination rates going the opposite direction, which is versus the decline going up.
Exactly. And, you know, honestly, I think there's other features. I know we can infer that if we have a low, let's say we have a low measles vaccination rate in Connecticut, which we don't. If we had a low vaccination rate, then the risk of getting measles if there was an outbreak is that much higher.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you can understand. And I think, you know, especially with so many questions surrounding health and the questions about also vaccines, you can understand where this certainly has a place. In Connecticut, kind of jumping right on board, one of only 10 states in the country that will be part of this U.S. disease tracker. We're going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com. We're chatting with our infectious disease expert, Dr. Brown. But he's also just our peace of mind in the medical field. So I'm going to bounce around to a couple of different stories. We're getting closer to back to school, Dr. Brown. And there was a
Yes.
report where there's more and more focus on the weight of school backpacks. I don't know if this is something you want to jump by. Oh, you didn't know I'd go this direction, did you?
No, it's actually, I didn't know you were going this direction, but I'd love to comment on it.
I had a feeling you
great.
Would. See, no.
Can we talk about
I mean.
That and phones? Because those are the two fun ones.
Yeah, let's, you know what? Because nobody's going to see it coming. Honestly, yeah, the timing is great because that guidance just came out from the Department of Ed here in Connecticut. That's not, again, a full-out ban, but it is kind of stronger guidance being like, listen, you should really think about that bell-to-bell ban, and you should really think about limiting screen time. So, yeah, I mean, listen, let's do some back to school. No one saw
Absolutely.
That coming.
Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, just during the break, I was able to look up, and mumps, varicella, hepatitis A, mpox, and influenza-associated pediatric mortality are also coming into the U.S. disease tracking.
Okay, so stay tuned for that.
So stay tuned. Yes, so that's actually, I think that's a great topic because, yeah, weights of backpacks. And now I'm going to talk about, I know they recently talked about phones and screen time and et cetera. I'm going to take it a little bit different, and we're going to talk a little bit about sort of more muscle skeletal.
Great.
I think that's really important.
I know what you're talking about. You mean the whole looking down while you're on your phone
yes.
thing? Yes. Oh, Dr. Brown,
yes.
I love this. Yes. Who cares about that at school? We even as adults, we got that bump coming
Correct.
Up on the back of our necks. We're looking like, you know, Quasimodo over here. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
let's
they
do
actually,
it.
We actually call it the academic hump. Now it's like just the regular hump.
Yeah. We're
but
just,
yes, I mean, that's
yeah.
I mean, it's a major issue that we're having is that, you know, because, you know, we don't necessarily, I mean, we continue to try to emphasize, you know, exercise. It's still, you find that it's become, you know, still not as influential as sort of all the screen time that we have doing everything else. So this leads to some real issues about, are we able to make sure that our kids are educated on healthy habits for issues later on in life, in particular musculoskeletal. So yes, backpacks. If you have, you know, overweighted backpacks, or if you're not wearing them properly, and I think years have actually changed. I mean, a lot different from when I went to school, and there was no such thing as a backpack. You actually had a duffel bag that you had to sling over your shoulder,
right,
and or hold on one side, and it had like everything in it,
yeah,
including super heavy books, because you know we didn't have.
That's what we did. Were the books, right? Are you kidding? I remember the days, Dr. Brown, of bringing the dictionary with us. So, yes, I'm with you. I totally remember that. I didn't have the sling backpack, but I certainly had the backpack that was so heavy that it basically was like by my kneecaps. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, yes,
I'm with
you. It was
crazy what we actually had in the messenger bags and all those other things that are there. So, yes, wearing, you know, making sure that you have a well form-fitting backpack is going to be important, because it does put a lot of stress onto the spine, onto the back, and making sure that you are wearing it and that they are, you know, that they're put on properly. And I could tell you over the years, I mean, we used to do the sling on the one arm. I don't see that as much. I see a lot of people wearing the backpack properly, mm-hmm, which again distributes the weight. And as long as children are you know, exercising, and it's funny, as adults we call that core strength, but for kids it's, you know, that
they don't know how to use, but it's true. You're right. I mean, they don't know how to use their muscles correctly. I would even argue some adults don't either.
Right.
You know, if not for my parents putting us in a gym at 12 years old and knowing how to hold our shoulders back and all that, most people don't know that, honestly, those mechanics.
And it's I think it's really important to have some sort of, especially as children, you know, that they should really have some sort of daily stretching. You know, there should be some sort of aspect in which they are doing even simple things, which is so interesting, because I mean, arm weaving and, you know, rolling their arms and, you know, bobbing their head back and forth. You know, these are things that are really important that, interesting enough, they just don't do as much as they used to. And that's really important with the phone thing, with the academic hump, that everybody's down looking at their phone. And again, we talked a little bit about sort of the aspect of being on that screen, but just think of, your body is not designed to be bent over like that, to be continually looking down at a phone. So you know, you really want to, it's everywhere. You really want to say, all right, look up, you know?
Yeah,
look
no,
up a little.
It's true. I mean, and I even think beyond that, Dr. Brown, like I think about when you're in the car, like, so when we do long car rides, we've put a mechanism behind our seat. I don't know what you call that, the headrest for our seats.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When Chase wants to play his Switch, which he only can do when he's on an airplane or he's, you know, in a long car ride, he isn't really on video games otherwise, we've attached it to the back of the seat so he can, you know, detach little guy. Well, because he'll just sit there hunched over for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and I'm like, this just is terrible. And granted, he doesn't do it enough, like he doesn't do it a lot, I should say, but it's enough that I don't like it. And he's, you know, I think it's everything.
Yeah,
we just
don't
realize.
We're not meant to do that. That's not really what our bodies are meant to do. We're not meant to be hunched over in that period of time. In fact, I'm sure you remember as much as I do when we're younger, you know what? Either teachers, I don't think they do this anymore, teachers, family member, you know, my parents will say, you know, stop hunching. Stand up straight.
Oh, are you joking? My mother loved doing that. Are you serious? That's why.
Yeah, all
the
time. That was like a thing in the
yes.
80s and 90s.
Oh, it most certainly was. Even now in our 30s, my mother will be like, sit up. That is something. I mean, my sisters and I, no joke, we had to stay in ballet till we were 10 years old because my mom worried about our posture. She's like, you have to get this. You have to get this. This is so important. The posture thing totally matters. And a lot of it has gone so out the window because of technology. It's so true.
It does.
So true.
I think focusing on posture, and you could see where you can actually see if you go on to even sort of, I don't touch a lot onto social media, but I can tell you, you get a lot from what the ads show you. And again, since I'm not on it, it's not quite, you know, focused on sort of my interest. So I get sort of a lot of general ads, and you see a lot of those who, you know, there's a lot of ads on how to, you know, adjust your posture, help with back pain, you know, all those things. I don't have back pain problems, but it continues to be sort of this thing. But it just goes to show you that's probably what one of the major components out there is. A lot of people are having back pain and posture issues lead to back pains later on in life and other surgical issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even the idea of not making kids bring their Chromebooks home. So it's funny because we so focus on the fact that we want to, you know, kind of limit the screen time. And schools are kind of even doubling down and saying, you know, not only do we want to limit the screen time and kind of partner with parents and not make them have a fight at home about this. But man, that adds certainly poundage for kindergartners and first graders who are lugging home these computers essentially in their backpacks. And again, to your earlier point, we don't on average have the mechanics to sit up straight, to know how to use our muscles properly, including even wearing a backpack. So it's fascinating stuff. I tell you, anything I throw at this guy, he could just talk about it when it comes to health. It's really amazing. This is why he's our peace of mind in the medical field. Dr. Fred Brown, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much for making the time here on WACC. We appreciate it.